When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Old School. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. On this Thursday, we are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, here in the LNK. A couple texts. Chris and Seward or Lincoln slash Austin's dad. He says, Halloween game versus Colorado on Halloween 1992 was the loudest stadium I've ever been in. I wasn't there, but I've heard about it. I heard about it even when I got here as a freshman. Because we were about to play Colorado again my freshman year at home.
Who are some of those guys on the team that would have been there?
On 92?
Yeah.
Kenny Wilhite. I know John Perella was on that team. I don't know. Text line, let us know. That. I mean, I've only seen highlights. And I saw John Perella. John Perella was huge. He was throwing guys out the club. So, oh, well. Here, Earthquake says, both teams entered ranked, tied for eighth. One team won 52-7. You know how we do it. Calvin Jones was on that team. Trev, I had to be on that team. Travis Hill, for sure, I'm assuming, because him and Trev graduated together. So, there's some great players in that game.
Very.
Yeah, we don't care who's on Colorado, though.
Yeah. Neither did they.
Yeah. And served them nicely. Yo, Travis Hill had 92-39 says Travis Hill had an interception in the game. So, there you go, Austin. I still think Nebraska will get ranked up there high. There's an article here that I pulled up on Reddit, and it was from an anonymous Big Ten coach. And this is pretty cool because, look, everybody knows I would say this about PJ Fleck. I didn't beat around the bush. I didn't really like him at first. But a kid I trained named Blake Cashman, actually Blake just signed a huge contract in the NFL. PJ Fleck targeted him, and he was a walk-on. He bet on himself. He led the team in tackles, played as a true freshman, put him on scholarship to the day that he said he would once he took the job over. So that was like, okay, that. And Carter Coughlin, who I know and train, and Blake said, listen, he is for real. And he just very detailed came in with his thing, rowed the boat, and I thought it was just another slogan. And then I met him at Big Ten and, you know, talked to him for a while. And then also I met with him one time up in Minnesota, very welcoming. And I just saw his process. But and I sent this to Austin because it's a great talking point because I'll see PJ here in a few days. And also last year at Big Ten, where they kind of drummed up an old article about stuff in the athletic department and in some stuff like that, like he was bullying people and all that. And it's a professor on campus that every year seems to put out that article, but it was literally the day that they were in Big Ten. So kind of, they were all in a little bit of Panama, but this one here, it says anonymous Big Ten coach says this: I think PJ Fleck chased UCLA and some other jobs pretty hard to get out of Minnesota, and it didn't happen for him. That's interesting because remember, he was tied to UCLA. He was also tied to, as a very high candidate, to Michigan State.
That's right.
He was tied to numerous jobs from the year before because remember, he got the new extension. It was like five or something, which was huge. It's huge for Minnesota to pay a coach that much because they definitely are not or at least weren't thought of as a football school and didn't put a lot of money into their football program. But then also, Austin, before you comment on it, remember, PJ Fleck essentially called the donors to task because of NIL or the lack of support NIL, and had a really good freshman running back, and they didn't want to lose him. They obviously raised enough money to keep him. PJ Fleck is around, but it also lets you know, he could have been looking. They say, you know, some of the comments, money could have been a reason. He only has a $7 million buyout, so that's not a big buyout for that type of coach to go to one of these bigger pocketed programs. But from Minnesota's perspective, I know a little bit how they think. They feel like they've overextended themselves even more than they've done for past coaches. Glenn Mason, my main man, Jerry Kill. they didn't support them, and they were pretty, you know, successful to their standards. I'm sure they're, you know, I'm sure PJ got a text or something. Say, hey, we got to talk tomorrow. Even though it's anonymous, you still get talked to with this.
You absolutely do. It doesn't shock me to hear that PJ Fleck might have been looking somewhere else. And that's the important part, right? It's not anyone saying for sure that PJ Fleck was chasing it. It's an anonymous source to Athlon, who does this every year, was the original piece. It's just one person's thoughts on it. But it doesn't surprise you.
No.
I think for all the flack that PJ Fleck gets, I do think he's self-aware. I do think he knows how he comes off to other people, to the outside. I don't think he cares, but I think he's at least aware of it. And with the conversations with his boss and the boosters and the donors and people around the program, I can understand. It stands to reason that PJ Fleck's been there. He was there the year before Frost, right? That was their year zero, what he called it. He's still there. It's the longest he's been at a head coaching job by far. So I can understand. He's like, oh, okay. Well, boosters aren't rallying. Conversation with the AD was fine. Not great. He gave me the extension just because he felt like he had to, not because he wanted to. It took him some work to get the money. I might be running out of rope here. Like, we've been fine. Haven't moved the needle outside of that one year with Tanner Morgan and they beat Penn State and all that.
Magical year,
exactly. So I think PJ Fleck is fine in Minnesota, but I also think PJ Fleck knows that if he's chasing UCLA, this is true, he probably has a sense of, I'm wearing out my welcome, I'm not motivating like I used to, the flash isn't there. If I don't have a great year, any opportunity I have to jump ship makes me look better than getting fired and having to get another job.
Yeah, he's definitely aware, and as every coach, you can't really worry about what people think, because if you do, listen, we've, you know, had coaches that have, what is it called, rabbit ears, and then you know got thin skin. It just doesn't work. So I think with PJ Fleck, you have to be aware. And I remember Jay Billis saying this about criticism, and it's a great quote. It's like, you don't have to like it, you don't have to love it, you can hate it, but you also have to listen to it. If it's true, you have to consider it on your terms. If it's not, you just keep it moving. The one thing about PJ Fleck, you know, look, man, I met him and chopped it up with him out, just me and him. I just wanted to feel him out. And I think once he knew I knew Blake and all them, it kind of got it. And then he was just like, hey, man, just, you know, if you're in Minneapolis, stop by my office. I said, all right, let me see if he's a man of his word. I was with my dad, and we were only there for like 10 minutes, but watching him work in there, I mean, that dude's like hopped up on coffee like no other. I mean, he's definitely to the minute. You know, I think here's the problem with programs like Minnesota. Whereas you reach a pinnacle for them, that Penn State win is probably one of the biggest victories in school history, just because national TV and all that. And then people have revisionist history. They always go back to that. And you can never beat that. Unless you get to Ohio State level.
Rose Bowl.
Well, you can't, because you don't have the financial support. You don't have the recruiting support. And you're in that kind of lower tier, and you're the upper level, lower tier. And you need really good retention rate, which sometimes you're going to lose players because you're not a mid-major program, but you're just barely above it, right? So people are going to pluck guys off your roster potentially. And so then the funny thing about administrations like Minnesota, where you don't have a lot of football financial support, is they pay you the money, but then they start to count the pennies that they pay you. So then it was like, okay, well, oh, you beat South Dakota State or whatever. You know, you beat whoever in the, you know, I call it the Minnesota Open. Oh, you only won by 10. That's not good enough.
Well, remember, it took that late touchdown to beat South Dakota State.
Yeah, and Georgia Southern. And then they went out to Fresno and won an overtime.
I mean, Nebraska didn't beat Georgia Southern, so Minnesota gets props for that one.
And then they beat Fresno, and then that springboarded them. But then also Minnesota, for the as long as I can remember, and this is before I even got to know, had athletic department administration problems when it came to football. Just forever, you know. And so for him, listen, he might not be chasing those jobs, but his agent is. That's what his agent job is to do. Right. That's what his agent's job to do. If you want a perfect example of that, look at Kurt Ferentz. Every year, I remember when the Jacksonville Jaguars job was open, and he had been like an assistant offensive line coach at some point in the NFL. They were talking about he could get it. Then he got another extension. Then his name kept, you know, being brought up. Lifetime extension. He probably was never going to leave Iowa, but that's what your agent's supposed to do. Now I'm sure PJ Fleck looked around and said, "Okay, where can I take my product or what I do with better support?" And he's probably looking at it, listen, you gave Mel Tucker $95 million. You're probably going to recoup. Yeah, you're probably going to recoup some of that. I can get some. You're willing to pay big time money. He probably feels like he's got a little bit more stability, you know, with his staff, Michigan State, some other schools. And so that's where his name would come up. I don't know why he would want to go to UCLA, because Chip Kelly left because of no support and lack of recruiting.
And you're just going to be yelling into a void in LA. Your loud center of attention shtick isn't going to work out there. Okay, couple elements back in the Big Ten. His DC left for Michigan State.
Yeah.
What does Joe Rossi want? Does he take Michigan? That seems like a lateral move right now. Maybe Michigan State has a slightly higher ceiling. They've been to Rose Bowls more recently than Minnesota has. They've been to the college football playoff. Is that a step up for him? Does he think that Jonathan Smith is going to fail and that's his spot to be the inner?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Contraire, my partner.
You think Minnesota's more likely to fail so you can hop back as head coach?
I think he sees or knows from talking to PJ, all these coaches talk, right?
And yeah. Well, he's just DC, so he's going to talk. Yeah.
And they know each other. What he's thinking, maybe what he's heard, maybe his agent heard. He probably was thinking PJ is probably going to be out of here in a year or two. Here comes Jonathan Smith, new guy. I at least have some stability. I can build a defense again, right? Clean slate. I'm going to Michigan State, and I know the Big Ten, and probably knows the coach and feels a little bit more safe with him. Versus PJ, you really don't know where he's going to end up, man. He might surround and try to go down to Memphis or something, and he might not want to go. I think that played into it. Also think, we talked about it with the co-offensive coordinator, I guess trial last year, was a big-time failure. You say, Jay, how does that affect the defensive coordinator? Well, it affects the defensive coordinator directly, not indirectly. But you want to know why?
Well, it's the same way it affects Iowa. Iowa has no offensive coordinators. Minnesota has two. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none. If you have two OCs, you have none.
Right, because how one or both call plays affects how I, defensive coordinator, can protect my defense. Minnesota built quietly, and I mean very quietly, and you didn't hear it until they got in the bowl game, one of the best and most consistent defenses under Rossi, and produced draft picks and NFL legit players under him quietly for like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a standard there.
Winfield, Newbin,
right.
linebackers, linemen, you name it.
Right. Right. Defensive linemen. They had a defensive lineman drafted this year. You know, even all the way put the Rashad Hageman or whatever, remember his second round pick. They've had guys there. So the standard is there. So we always talk about Mike Zimmer when he was a head coach. He was calling plays on he was coaching to protect his defense. Rossi's gonna do that as well. That's what I think it is. I think PJ Fleck had enough respect and trusted Rossi enough that he didn't like dip in there and try to point the finger at the defense when the offense wasn't producing. I don't think that was there. I think he's been around PJ enough that like probably didn't wear him thin. I think he's like, look, PJ's thinking of making a bigger move or trying to get somewhere else. I'm not sure where he's going to go, when it's going to happen. And it's just a lack of stability.
Okay. This is going to take some mental gymnastics, but work through it with me. Kirk Ferentz retires.
Mm-hmm.
Is it most likely that PJ Fleck jumps ship from Minnesota for Iowa? Is Iowa interested? Would PJ Fleck have to be fired from Minnesota for Iowa to be interested? Does PJ Fleck fit Iowa? Would Iowa think that's an upgrade or a step in the right direction?
None of the above. None of the above. I don't think PJ would be interested. I don't think vice versa. And I don't think he fits Iowa. I think it's LeVar Woods.
Makes sense to me.
Because he played at Iowa. He's a great player, great recruiter. Essentially gets a promotion by Brian Ferentz being gone, or Kirk's son. And he's held at a very high standard. You talk to some of the local parents of kids that have been recruited by him. They love him. Mm-hmm. Respect him. So why wouldn't you turn the keys over to him? He knows the quote-unquote Iowa way versus, say, you hire a Jay Foreman and then you're going through a total facelift. To me, it's like, this is where I look at Luke Fickell and what they tried to do with the air raid or trying to do with the air raid with a little bit of a side eye, right? We've seen this, what was it, Gary Anderson came in there?
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously was told, listen, you can do all that, but we still got the big uglies. Luke Fickell is total rogue here. If you come into Iowa, a place like Iowa, and you try to go air, it just won't look right. It won't fit. It won't last long. It will do more damage. That's why I think it's LeVar Woods or bust.
So in that case, we saw a couple weeks ago now, Utah named Scally the head coach in waiting. Should Iowa do that with LeVar Woods? Do they need to do that? Is there a benefit or a downside to doing it?
I think they should if that's what they want to do, but I think they should do it. I think there's nothing but positive and benefits for it. Number one, it keeps one of the best recruiters in the nation at home. It allows you to go recruit in the future without the question of when or if Kurt Ferentz is going to leave. Number two, it takes the target off the athletic director that came in and fired his son. Is dad next, right? So then the power struggle between those two, right, is a little bit eliminated because if Kurt decides to retire, he still will be around because of LeVar, you know, kumbaya. We saw it also, what was it? Was it Will Muschamp was at Texas?
Yeah.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
With Mac Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up leaving before. So the coaching waiting thing isn't guaranteed.
Well, he went to Florida.
But I'm saying it didn't work out in Texas.
Right, exactly.
The coaching waiting thing, I think, really works well in places like Utah and Iowa because I think you got to understand, you got to love Utah, you got to be in the community. This is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. Iowa as well. Because just imagine me go coaching Iowa.
Jay Higgins is happy.
He had 170 tackles. I don't know how many more tackles I could get him to get, but I'm just, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not an Iowa guy. So I think if I was to tell them, that's what I do. Why? Look at us. It went from Coach Osborne. I don't care what you think about Frank. It worked. The plug was pulled too early. Now, this has nothing to do with hiring another Husker and all that, so just get that out of your system. You hired somebody totally opposite that wasn't invested in Nebraska, Bill Callahan.
You're like 18th option.
Right. I mean, Houston Nutt came up here, got off the plane, got back on the plane, and got a raise. We had no intention to come here along with everybody else, and it just didn't work, and it set the program back up until hopefully right now. Now, Bo did well. Bo, mm-hmm. I think Bo, like I said, did more positive than negative and probably got judged too much from some other stuff versus on the field. I think he did a great, and I'm a big fan of his. Also, look at Tennessee. I remember having this conversation with Sean Bryson and them, and they were talking about, and he loved Philip Fulmer, but the people were killing Philip Fulmer just a year or just two seasons after going to the championship game. It's stale. He's lost the team. He's lost the program. Well, you went to Derek Dooley. You know what I mean? And all those other cats. You had your boy Greg Schiano was there for offered the job, and then the mob.
Well, that was Fulmer's fault.
Well, yes, but what I'm saying is that starts the downhill slide. And what's the coach before Schiano? What was his name? The guy that was paying people the wrong way.
Couldn't even
cheat right. He just put it in a McDonald's bag.
Why am I blanking on his name?
I can picture him. Pruitt.
Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy
right?
Pruitt.
So, I mean, these are type of things you do when you make these type of total opposite decisions.
Butch Jones was the head coach, but Pruitt was the DC.
Okay. No, Butch Jones was there. Pruitt was the head coach, wasn't he? Because he came from Bama.
Oh, that's right.
It went from Derek Dooley to Butch Jones
to Pruitt for 2 years, right. 3 years. Yeah. He went 5-19.
Look at that, man. I mean, that's what, right? So, I mean, now should Philip Fulmer coach for another 20 years? No, but I'm thinking, when Peyton Manning kind of turns his back on Knoxville because of that.
Like he turned his back on Indy.
What do you mean?
Peyton's more Denver than Indy now.
That's a little odd, though, isn't it? Who is that more a reflection of?
It's on Ursay.
Okay.
It's on Ursay.
He hasn't handled Peyton right, and he hasn't handled Mr. Andrew Luck right.
No.
Is that fair?
It's totally fair. Maybe I'm being... I mean, it's not like Peyton hates Indy, right? He'll still come back. He'll do stuff for the Colts. But I feel like you see more content from the Broncos about Peyton than you do from the Colts.
Yeah.
And that makes me sad.
It is. And it's I will say this. It's disappointing because, look, he was just at Denver to stick it to the Colts. Got a Super Bowl. He's not a Bronco.
No.
But whatever it is in that situation with Denver, with Elway and the ownership, definitely was more appealing to him than what happened with Ursay. Because I think it's a little bit of, text line for Tennessee. We had Lane Kiffin situation too.
That's right.
How you treat your mega superstars, iconic players, and Peyton is one of the best of all time, especially at his position. Probably should have just kept him there. I think there's very few. I always say this. There's certain players that should never wear another uniform until they're done playing.
Mm-hmm.
Ursay turned a page on him very quickly,
real quick. And here's the thing: it worked out. You had 1 year of suckitude with Orlovsky and Curtis Painter, but then you got Andrew Luck. He should have been the best quarterback of that era.
But you didn't draft and protect him like. Well, you tried to. It was Costanzo and stuff like that, but he already took a beating.
Yeah.
But it was, I think, the way they handled Peyton.
Right.
It was
didn't give him a shot to rehab.
I don't even think.
Wrote him off.
And I don't know if Peyton would ever say it, but you can just tell by where he's at. His actions tell you everything. So, Lane Kiffin there, he says, we got an unknown texter, 1982, says, if you want to see an example of handled well, Joe Montana is still a Niner. Not a Chief after he retired. Yes. But I will tell you this. Joe Montana was PO'd when the Chiefs went up there and beat the Niners. After he went to the Chiefs. Because I'm going to tell you what. Joe Montana. Bill Walsh pretty much turned the page on Joe Montana real quick. And Bill Walsh says one of his big regrets. But you go from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another. Not a bad trade-off. Joe Montana is always going to be a Niner. I think he was part of... potential ownership, but in the stadium project, mm-hmm. I know he's done a lot of stuff like that. So, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to tell you a Joe Montana story, man. When they talk about Joe Cool, I'm going to tell you he's probably the coolest dude of all time. I'll tell you a pretty cool story about Joe Montana from my cup of tea, and I was a hired assassin with the 49ers. We're going to take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.